Good morning. This is Jay Nero. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode six. I'm going to do it wrong. This is episode 630. Have you noticed that I typically take a big sigh before I start? Have you noticed that I have? When I go back and I listen to it, and I have to listen to it, at least the beginning of every episode, just so I can know what to put down in the RSS feed, so that you guys can get this thing podcasted to you. So I do a big sigh. And then I go and I start doing whatever it is I'm going to do. Usually right after I tell you which episode number it is. I don't know if that ends up being an endearment. You guys can hear it, you know. Perhaps I do it when I do my speeches too. I don't know. My talks. Let's go ahead and use the Latter-day Saint lingo here. When I come to give you a talk, you'll have to let me know if I do the same mannerisms, at least the vocal and the sound ones, that I do on the podcast episodes. Then you'll know you're getting the authentic Jay. It's a mark. It's a mark of the authentic Jay. This podcast episode is entitled, or I'm thinking I'm going to entitle it, oh, bless it, not again! Dang it! Dang it! Oh! I'm pulling over. This really upsets me. Hang on. Alright, I'm back. I may tell you what happened, I may not. The title of this podcast is... Hang on, let me get on the road here. Come on, Jay. Capacity before need. Now that might be a little obscure, so I'm going to give you an example from my own experience. When I was younger, I flew a lot. I don't fly much now. There's not a need, number one. Number two, I just as soon avoid all this stuff with the TSA and things like that. I just as soon not get involved with it. Now that we've become a virtual police state and fingernail clippers are weapons, you know, the time will come when I have to get back to it. Anyway, when I was younger, I used to fly. And of course, when you fly, you're always given the safety, or you used to be, I don't know how it is now, you were always given the safety instructions of, you know, all the important safety features of the plane, how you were supposed to be able to, you know, all the little things. And they tell you that when the plane decompresses, these things are pressurized, you know, because they go up so high for your comfort and convenience. But when the plane decompresses for some reason, you know, if there develops a hole or if one of the doors gets opened or something like that happens, masks, oxygen masks, will drop from little bins up above your head. And when they drop down, the instruction is this. Put the mask on your head, over your mouth and nose first, and then proceed to help other people get the mask over their mouth and nose. Now, I've heard this analogy used for 100 things. You know, first you have to help yourself, then you can help other people. You know, if you're desperately trying to save your child before you save yourself, you may die before you get around to ever helping them. And this could be used for a whole lot of things. But the context in which I'm taking it here, in capacity before need, or how did I say it? Capacity? You can even say capacity trumps need. Because that's true. Although... we always think that there's something higher and noble about need trumping your capacity. And I'll explain that a little bit more here as we proceed. You have to be in good shape before you can help anybody else. That's something that has to be explained on an airplane, because we are culturally taught to always be willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. And that's often the stupidest thing to do. We end up getting everybody killed in the process of allowing ourselves to die. Does that sound bad? It probably sounds bad for the simple reason that it is. It is bad. Okay. It's been an interesting morning. Oh, I've noticed. I noticed that this morning I went up to do some upgrades on the computer upstairs, really just software upgrades. It was really nothing terribly major, on the Linux boxes upstairs. And I noticed a lot of traffic over the modem. And I looked down and people are downloading the podcast. Now, I know it had been about 48, maybe even 72 hours since I had made the last revision to the feed. Therefore, this is kind of new people, or at least, you know, there's a lot of downloading going on, and it took longer than a normal just downloading one episode that you had missed. So it looks like somebody was downloading another, you know, several episodes at the same time. And that's heartening to me. Welcome, whoever you are. Welcome to the wonderful world of the life autistic. And, or the twisted, kind of psychotic mania, I guess. That's better than just saying the wonderful world, because, it's, you know, it really depends on how you look at it, whether it's wonderful. Welcome, nevertheless. Which reminds me that I need to give you the contact information if you want me to speak to a group. That's one of the reasons why this podcast, it kind of morphed into one of the reasons why this podcast is here, is so that I can come and speak to your group. If you need, if you have a group and it needs a speaker, I'd be more than happy to do this for you for the right price that shall be negotiated at a future time. If you want me to come, the best way to contact me is by phone. You will get an answering machine. You will have to leave a message. I rarely just pick up the phone. And I mean rarely as in never. Maybe once I'll get tricked, or I'll think it's somebody else who's calling right back and it ends up being somebody I don't want to talk to. You'll always get an answering machine. Leave your information on the answering machine, how to contact you in a very succinct way, what you want me to do. Jay, come speak to me. My phone number is da 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 da. And here's the phone number to call. The country code in the United States is 1. Kind of cocky of us, but I guess we were the guys that got the phone system started in the first place, the international phone system. So the country code is 1. The area code is 575. The exchange number is 461. And my personal number within that exchange is 2716. So you string it all together, it's 1-575-461-2716. So you can use that to contact me. If you just have a comment, just want to say hi. If you want me to say something that's not too disgusting on the podcast, heck, you know, I can sometimes be cajoled into doing that. Sometimes. Or if talking on the phone is troublesome to you, I understand that. This is the life autistic. Autistic people sometimes are not the best vocal communicators. Sometimes they type better. Feel free to type to me. the email address, autism, AUTISM, at Quix, Q-U-I-X, dot U-S. It's always a joy to hear from you folks. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I'm being heard. You know, it kind of brings meaning to what I do here, even though, to a large extent, I just do it to fill up some what I consider otherwise to be kind of wasted time. That's one of the reasons why I do this, you know. If you're tired of talk radio and you're sitting in a car traveling long distances to get to places for your work, you know, well, why not do your own sort of radio? So, here I am. Getting back to the subject, finally, of capacity trumps, I guess, you know, that just sounds better. Capacity trumps need. I need to remember that that's kind of what I want to call it. If it's the other title, you'll understand that I didn't listen too long to know exactly what this is about and then think back and remember what I had talked about. If you don't have capacity, you can't fulfill needs. Now, there's all kinds of different capacities. There's all kinds of ways we can serve. I can always think that everybody has something that they can contribute somewhere to somebody that's helpful, that makes people feel good. Even if you, if your idea is that capacity is like money or time, those are two pretty big things in our, in just say, for instance, the American kind of white Western culture. You know, that those two are certainly big, but there's other things that I can't frankly think of off the top of my head, but surely there are that you can contribute to the world. And this is what constitutes what I call capacity. Your capacity to do. Now, most of us spend up most of our capacity taking care of ourselves and our families. And that's okay. The people that should be getting the lion's share of what we have to offer are our families. If everybody contributed the lion's share of their capacity to their families, I would have to say that most of the atrocities, most of the problems that our world faces would be handled. There would be fewer divorces, you know. You wouldn't hear the stories of kids being abused. You, or at least so many of them, you know. A whole range of things, social problems, would be taken care of if we just did that. Now, with what capacity is left, now you have to understand that you need to have your free time. You need to do things that buoy you up, that fulfill you. In many ways, our culture preaches against this. Of course, even though our culture preaches against it, as people, we tend to, number one, ignore it, which on one level is good. The level to which many people take this to, you know, where we consume copious amounts of leisure time and much of our capacity goes into somewhat frivolous and very selfish things, that's taking it to a level probably beyond what's good, I'd have to say. But then our culture almost screams at us not to do it at all, you know. Our most lionized people are those who sacrifice themselves young in the service of humanity. And you go, if they would have lived longer, if they would have taken better care of themselves, and that's what I'm referring to here, is taking care of yourself. They could have contributed so much more over time than kind of their glowing meteor before it gets burned up in the atmosphere sort of giving. The fact that they gave was good. The fact that they weren't very wise about it meant that such giving was short-lived. And it could have gone on a lot longer with a little bit of care, with a little bit of thought about yourself. And that's important. That's important. You know. A lot of people are very respectful of Gandhi. And to a degree, I am. I hope he lived a good long life. I don't think he ultimately did. He could have lived longer and maybe even done more than what he was able to do. It would have been very interesting and very good, perhaps, you know, it's really hard to say, if he could have actually become the first real political leader of India, as opposed to just pretty much being just kind of a spiritual guide or an inspiration. You know, that it might have been interesting to see. Who knows what we might have seen if he would have survived longer. You know, he kept using, you know, fasting and other tortures, self-torture, that I think shortened his life, and sadly so. I know people say that if he wouldn't have done those things, he wouldn't have been the great man he was, and I'm ready to admit that, but wouldn't it have been interesting to see what would have happened? Perhaps he wouldn't have been as great as he is. Sometimes, you know, we vaunt martyrs so much that, you know, they almost become ultra-human, and the best part is they die before they do something that is very human that will make them fall from grace. So he's one of those individuals who sacrificed himself at some peak. Who knows if he would have been able to do more incredible things? Who knows? Who knows where it would be now if he could have continued? And I'm not here to talk about the fact that being a martyr is a bad idea. I'm just making an observation that, you know, how cool would it, you know. Would we have seen more? Would he fallen from grace? Not that I'm wanting him to have fallen from grace. I'm glad he did what he did. He inspired the whole world. And you don't get that very often. And we need more of that. We need more of the world being inspired by something. And often, you know, personal sacrifice for the needs of others will do that. But the podcast, as the title suggests, is the capacity trumps need. If you see a need and you even have the desire to try to address some sort of need in someone else, but your capacity is limited, specifically in where that need is, you know. If you're a poor person and you see that somebody else is poor, but you think they should not be so poor, there's very little that you can contribute in, like, say, money. Let's say it's a monetary issue. There's very little you can contribute to get them out of poverty. If you give away your money to that guy, he will still be poor, and you will be even poorer. And that guy will take some pity on you and give some of the money back. You know, if we don't have capacity, we just end up being as needy as the people we hope to help. And that speaks to a lot of things. And it speaks to different kinds of capacities. When I look at what I'm trying to do here, when I'm trying to go out and speak and hopefully bring new insight, maybe bring a little bit of inspiration, maybe point you in a different direction than what you're in toward our Heavenly Father, toward the being that we call God, and that this will take care of some of your needs, often, especially in the United States, especially in the Western world, typically, although people will still moan and complain and whine about the fact that they don't have enough money, they don't have what they want, and in my few third world experiences where I'm saying, I'm sorry, our poor people are fabulously wealthy. Our poorest, our street urchins are richer than many of some pretty happy, you know, people from Togo, for instance, or Nigeria. And it's really interesting, I think. Anyway, so I don't think people really have this great need for money, particularly, even though in our Western culture, we tend to focus on that. You know, well, you know, there's the poor. The poor need. They just need more money. They need more stuff. And it's like, well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. What do they really need? What are they hoping to accomplish with this money, with these things? Are they hoping to have happiness? Are they hoping to find fulfillment in their lives? Are, you know, what are they hoping for? And it typically isn't something that money can particularly buy. You can't buy happiness particularly. You can buy some comfort, but that's different from happiness. Sometimes comfort contributes to something akin to happiness, but when it gets down to it, you can have happiness without having tons of comfort, or without having any some comfort, come on, you know. One could do that. So that was kind of my hope, because you know what? My capacities are interesting. Do I have a lot of money? I have more than some people, less than others. If you were to take my per capita income, you know, my income divided up among the people in my family, all eight of us, you know, do I fall below the poverty line, the established poverty line? Yes, I do. I would have to make significantly more money to finally be declared not poor anymore. Now, I don't really take stock in most of that stuff. I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm doing okay. It would be nice to have some more money so that I could have more capacity to do some more things. I would like to be able to go out and speak basically for free. If I had more money, that would increase my capacity to be able to do that instead of, you know, just having to take what few gigs I can get that pay or that are willing to pay for my travel or whatever else goes along. Capacity has to come before the meeting of needs. There's, you know, we can't just wish things to be done and then put no capacity toward it. Now, most of us have more capacity than we're willing to give up, and I've noticed that in myself, too. I'm trying to work on it a little bit more. Not that I'm wanting to rob the necessary things from me and my family, the things that we need, but I feel like there's some excess capacity there that I would like to use up. Now, in the fact that I would love to do it, come and speaking to your group, I do it in trying to produce these podcast episodes. I really do want to get down to doing some writing because I think that would open up to a different audience that I'm not really reaching yet. Of course, there's tons of audiences that I'm not reaching yet that I'd love to reach. Not just the whole way of talking about Zenith and talking about people's abilities rather than their disabilities, or however you want to phrase that. It isn't just those things, but, you know, things that are of more general interest. I think about this whole capacity, I don't want to say versus needs. There will always be far more needs out there than anybody has the capacity to handle any outside person has the capacity to handle. That's the magic of family. Number one, because family should be the thing that takes care of most needs. Of course, everybody has every single one of their needs taken care of by an exterior source. There will be very little growth in people, you know. I think we all need some unmet needs in our lives. It prompts us to do better, to become better, to work towards something, rather than just sitting back and accepting all the charity of all the world on us. Whenever we see people doing that, you know, kind of living off of the charity of others, we don't tend to see too much growth. We don't tend to see too much trying to give back. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I know of people who received aid, you know, felt gratitude for the help, and then wanted to get themselves into a position where they could give back to others. Not really to return the favor, particularly, but to kind of spread that kind of help around. And we all need it. I'm not saying, you know, don't help. I'm just saying that because of just the natural imbalance of this, there will always be more need out there than there really is capacity to handle that need, that this is actually a good thing. It's really a good thing. Now, you can take that down to a personal level, because you can look, let's say you watch TV and one of those just gut-wrenching, now, you know, I haven't had TV for 10 years, so who knows if they still do this. They used to have these gut-wrenching ads come on, like a minute-long ad, where they would show you little kids in Africa whose tummies have swelled from a lack of food, you know. I always hated it when there would be like 10 flies roaming around their face and the kid didn't even seem to have the strength or interest to wave the flies away from him. You know, they would go up to his eyeball to steal some water from his eyes. You know, and this poor kid just can't even defend himself from a fly because perhaps he's so emaciated. Oh, it'd break my heart. And of course, they'd say, for only the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can help this little guy. And of course, you know, God, man, anybody who has half a heart is gonna sit there and either fork it over or feel an immense weight of guilt for not having forked it over. Now, I have charity, you know, well, I have my charities that I give to. And I give to those charities. And so hopefully, you know, I don't have to feel an incredible, just monumental bleh of guilt about these things. Sometimes I still do. But you have to understand, there's always going to be more need than there is capacity to take care of it. Always. And that's what makes us better people, is the fact that we can't just sit back and wait for the rest of the world to kind of take care of us. If too many people do that, everything falls apart. We need needy people to be, by their nature, needy. You know, not just lazy, but needy. And I think the world actually has a pretty good natural mechanism to make that happen. People have to do something because nobody seems to have the capacity to totally take care of your life for you. You know, if you get something that some charitable person gives, it might be something that you either don't care about or that doesn't really help you much. Here, I'm going to give you this little dolly. You know, and you give it to a boy, and the boy goes, "Oh, a little stinking dolly. You know, I want a, I want a, a Red Ryder rimfire, you know, BB gun. That's what I want. You know? And if he really wants that, he's going to have to go out there and get it, or he's going to have to do a better job of expressing what he wants to other people who might be able to help him get it. That takes some initiative. That takes something, you know, and there might not be. No, you'll shoot your eye out. What was that movie that did that? Christmas Story. BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out. Anyway, so, you know, if it's going to be something like that, you're actually going to have to work for it because, you know, some nice, kind, sweet old lady that's got lots of money, she isn't going to contribute to something that she thinks will hurt the little birdies. So you'll have to go out and do it. It's that whole thing, initiative, stuff like that to make that happen. And once that little boy has that initiative, has that drive, has been able to do that, the likelihood that he's going to use it again for something else is all the better. And as he does that, what does that build up in him? Hopefully not too much greed and just want of having things, but capacity. His capacity to do. And the fact that hopefully, as he goes along, our culture teaches that part of that capacity needs to be used in alleviating the needs of others where we can. They can come in any one of 2 trillion forms, you know. Needs are funny things. You know, people always think about, well, they need food, they need shelter. Really think of the very, very basic things. But there's so many needs beyond that. You know, once you have a steady supply of food, and you've got a place to live that keeps the rain off and stuff like that, your mind immediately starts going toward other things that tend to seek the heart, seek the personal interest, that seek the personal talent, skill, the thing, if you listen to these podcasts at all, the things that make your heart sing. Oh, I always do that, don't I? It sounds stupid, but oh well. Because it's those things that make our life complete. It's those things that help us be satisfied, and when we are closer to satisfaction, gives us more capacity that as we look out at others and we want to share our satisfaction with them, that we will not only find those who need that, who have a hunger besides the hunger for food, you know, a hunger for fulfillment, a hunger for finding one's place in the world, a hunger for so many things, I guess, that we can help them get. Either by showing them how we did it, by sharing our talents with them, whatever. And I guess I'm trying to get to that point. Maybe I am at that point, and that's why I'm here. I certainly, because of my circumstances, have the capacity to podcast a lot. A lot more than most people do. People who try to shove it into an already busy schedule, try to do it late at night, try to do it whenever. You know, I've got about 3 up on them. I'm on the road doing nothing, twiddling my thumbs, because if I do anything else, I'll come off the road, kill somebody, or kill myself. But I can have a headset on as long as I'm looking at the road, paying attention to what's going on. I travel down a sincere, this isn't a country lane, this is a road to nowhere. This is a road between 2 places that maybe I'll pass 3 people on the whole time, the whole 100-mile trip. So I don't need to be really terribly attentive to the road except to stay within the lines. There's a lot of traffic to deal with. So I can podcast and put this stuff out there. Now, it's not just the capacity to podcast, hopefully, because some people podcast about just silly stuff. You know, I was down to the thing, and I was taking drugs, and it was great, and there's my podcast, bye! You know, and it's like, well, does that inspire anybody? I don't know, you know, maybe. But I'm hoping it's inspirational. I'm hoping it's inspirational, but I also hope that I can widen that audience. Not everybody gets into the podcasting thing. Most of those iPods, most of those MP3 players are used to do music. You know, there's only a percentage of people that actually tune into podcasts, and of course only a small percentage of those are going to actually access my podcast. So, you know, little, bitty group of people. And that's why I say to you, hey, if you want me to speak to a group that you know about, hey, drop my name. Let them listen to a few of the podcasts. Let them know what they think, and they go, yeah, let's have this guy come. Let's have him talk about this. It could be one of the things you've heard me talk about before, but I'm willing to talk about other things, too. Now, I'm not going to, you know, if it's something that I'm morally opposed to, I will let people know how morally opposed I am and the reasons why. So, yeah, if you want me to come to the National, you know, Baby Sluggers Convention and speak to the legions of child abusers who come together and share a meal together, you know, I'm probably not going to say complimentary things about child abuse. I don't know. It's just me. I'm not going to do that. But I'd be really glad to. Should I give you the phone number again? I think I will. 1-575-461-2716. You can always use the email instead. I love to get emails from anybody who listens or pays attention. Have a comment to make, good or bad, doesn't matter. Just know that you're out there, and you've heard something, and how it affected you would be great. The email address for that is autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX, .US. It's wonderful. I'm sorry. I love truth. Well, I'm trying to get there. I have a hankering for truth. And if you were trying to put an honest term on it, it would be an obsession. And if you know about the Zenith, you know, some of my earlier Zenith episodes, which I need to talk about in the next episode, is just kind of maybe a repeat of some of the things that I've talked about before on, like, Zenith and soaring with your strengths and stuff like that. I'll come back to it. Because you need to every now and then. I don't expect everybody to go back and have to listen to old podcasts that they've already heard way back in the past. I can bring it up to date with a little more of the insights that I've gotten, hopefully a little bit better or a little bit more, you know, from the view of having a little bit more experience. Let me go ahead and end this particular episode and start another. This is Jay Nemro. Please contact me if you need me to speak to you. This has been episode 630. Where's my little pointer? There it is. And I don't know you personally, unless we've corresponded by email, and then I might know you a little bit better. But just in general, have a good day.